Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from the United Kingdom is Jonathan Armstrong from Quarterly Compliance. Jonathan, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you for the invite, Adam.
Glad you could join us and glad we can quickly address a really hot topic that's affecting how privacy is handled in Europe. So, Jonathan, there was a very important decision by the CJEU. Can you tell us what led to this decision and maybe even give a little bit of background on the CJEU?
Yes. So CJEU, bit of a mouthful. Let's call it European Court. Some people call it the ECJ. But basically, the European Court looks at matters of European law, and it's what we call a referral court. So if any state in the EU has a question of EU law where it's not certain, it refers it out to the ECJ, which sits in Luxembourg, and it gets a decision back, if you like. And this process has now happened a number of times in data privacy cases. And this one is possibly the most consequential for the compliance world because it affects a scheme called Privacy Shield. Now, Privacy Shield replaced a similar scheme called Safe Harbor, which was also struck out by the European Court. And the background to the case is quite unusual. It starts with an Austrian law student called Maximilian or Max Schrems, who studied both as a law student and as a kid in the US. And he said he was concerned about what he perceived as the pervasive issue of surveillance in the US. I interviewed him in 2016, and he spoke, for example, of being frightened by cameras in the yard at the school he attended. And he got into a debate with one of Facebook's lawyers whilst he was a law student over near you in California. And what then happened is he started to exercise his data protection, data privacy rights against Facebook. And eventually, this has snowballed into the decision we had this week, where he's effectively said Facebook doesn't have a lawful way of transferring his data from the EU to the US. Now, data transfer can be legitimized in basically four different ways until at least earlier this week. Privacy Shield is one that no longer exists. There's something called standard contractual clauses, which were also up for consideration by the court. The court decided that standard contractual clauses could remain, but with important safeguards, and they effectively wanted data protection authorities to beef up enforcement. The third way is binding corporate rules, which requires some investment from a corporation, but certainly after this week may be the path forward for many. The fourth is consent, and consent doesn't really work for most applications. It's important to remember that much of the concerns that multinational corporations will have is about how they handle employee data. So how do you handle data related to payroll, global travel management, ethics policies, working out who's seen which films, your helpline? A lot of those providers underpin the way in which they handle data by using Privacy Shield. So even if you are not in Privacy Shield yourself, you're likely to have to do some work to work out which of your vendors is in Privacy Shield. And obviously, you've got to work on an alternate arrangement with them. And if you're using standard contractual clauses with those vendors or between different bits of your own organization, then you're probably going to have to do some work on that as well.
Well, it sounds like the decision is just going to end up having an absolutely enormous impact. So what does this mean for Privacy Shield? Is it effectively dead?
It is. Yeah, I think, attend its, read its obituary, attend its funeral. I think Privacy Shield is gone. There is a slim chance that there might be some new form of Privacy Shield in place, but I think that's highly unlikely. And I think if any new scheme does is put in place, it won't last very long.
Wow. So now, what should companies be doing to comply? You touched on this a little bit, but I'm hoping you can drill down a little bit on what are they going to do, because it's not as if business is going to be able to just suddenly stop moving data around.
Yeah, correct. I think, first of all, you need to plan. So there is a possibility under GDPR of dawn raids. We're seeing more and more of them across Europe as privacy regulators knock on the door. The Irish regulators knocked on the door of Facebook, for example, to ask for its plan in a specific area. So be prepared for that knock on the door. For most organizations, they're going to need to have a plan in place so that even if they've not finished the plan, they've got something to show a regulator if they come knocking. And we know that some regulators are at least threatening to have that knock on the door. We know that one German regulator thinks that standard contractual clauses should also have been struck down. We know that another German regulator has compiled a database of multinational businesses that operate in Bavaria looking at how they transfer data. So I think you need a plan. And what might be in that plan? Well, first of all, I think obviously think about how you transfer that data. If you rely on Privacy Shield, you'll probably need another way. If you rely on standard contractual clauses, then you might have to do what I'd call double due diligence. So you have to do due diligence on the company and due diligence on the country. And obviously, if that provider is based in the US, then following this ruling, you're going to have to do some, put some extra steps in place to secure that data. I think you also need to look at those vendors and whether there's another way absent transferring the data. So if you've got a global HR platform, is it possible for that data to remain in the EU? That might need you to go out and speak to your IT folks and work out what's possible. You might need to connect with the vendors. Be ready for questions. So we'd recommend that people prepare short FAQs. That might help the HR team deal with requests from employees. It might help your contact centers if you're a B2C operation and you're going to liaise with customers. It's important that that messaging is consistent, because in a post-GDPR world, people ask for information more. They have a statutory legal right to information in most cases, and you need to make sure that those messages are consistent. You'll need to look at your transparency obligations. So, for example, some organizations specifically refer to Privacy Shield in their privacy policies, and they might refer to them being in Privacy Shield, or they might refer to a supplier of theirs that's in Privacy Shield. So you'll need to update those privacy policies. You might need to alter other documents too, internal notices to employees, for example, or what are technically called Article 30 records, so records of processing. As I said, with standard contractual clauses, if you're onboarding somebody new, you'll need to do this double due diligence thing. So make sure that you've got the right processes in place, the right resources to do that. And then if you also deal with the UK, then you might want to take a particular look at Brexit, because without going into all of the academic thought behind it, it's probably going to make Brexit more complicated as well, because the UK is probably going to need an adequacy decision of the type that the US has just lost. So there's going to be some complexities there as well, I think.
Wow, there's a lot there. And I feel horrible asking this question as companies are going to be wrestling with all of these immediate short-term changes. Mm-hmm. What should they be thinking about for the long-term as well? I mean, are there long-term implications for this?
I think perhaps they are. I think that they, you know, some people might want to look at vendors more closely. So if you have got a global service, particularly one that supports your compliance program, then you might want to look at the location of that data. And some countries might be better than others. I think that a number of organizations are also going to look at things like binding corporate rules, which I think are more, they're not bulletproof, but they're more resistant to legal challenge. And I think organizations are also going to want to look at strategies to keep individuals on board. I mean, one of the things that we've seen with the coming in of GDPR has been more consumer advocacy and also an importation of class action techniques and strategies from the US. So we thank you for that, Adam. But corporations are having to deal with class actions much more readily. So you'll need to have a program of doing the right thing for employees, for consumers. And then the last thing I'd say is that if you're an organization, and many are, that are struggling with COVID-19 issues, this is also highly relevant to you as well. If you're taking health data, temperature data from employees, then Privacy Shield, standard contractual clauses, all of this debate is going to impact that. If you're planning a reduction in force or planning letting people go or closing sites in your response to COVID, then you're going to have to think about this as well. So unfortunately, Adam, it is an additional burden that people could do without at this time. I think Secretary Wilbur Ross has made similar comments, but we are where we are. And obviously, the timing of this isn't ideal, but the timing isn't deliberate. This was the time that the court had allocated for its judgment many months ago. And regrettably, busy compliance professionals, unfortunately, have just got one more thing to think about.
Well, not just one more thing, but one very big thing. Well, Jonathan, thank you for sharing these insights with us and doing so so quickly after the decision. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and ATCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.